Open up to Galatians 5, verses 19 through 26. We're continuing our series on hot topics. And so 2 weeks ago, we began the series talking about homosexual marriage. And last week, we talked about ISIS and global Christian persecution. But this week is something a little different. And it may have struck you as odd as why we're dealing with the topic. And as I went around to Sunday school classes this morning, I was already accused of meddling before I ever got up on the stage this morning. But maybe this isn't a hot topic or on the same level as those two other issues we've dealt with. However, if I am correct, if I have interpreted Scripture accurately, then this is a topic of extreme importance. And something that may affect each one of us in some form or fashion. I'm talking about overeating. This is something that our culture here in the fat and happy United States of America rarely considers sinful. In fact, this is something we joke about quite often, isn't it? In fact, I thoroughly enjoyed researching the topic of overeating this week as I got prepared for this sermon. But in all seriousness, I've found while studying this issue, the information, as I began to look into Scripture, it was very sobering to me. It was very enlightening. And it made me consider the things that I put in my mouth. The statistics about obesity in this country are staggering. And I know sometimes we hear these things and they're just kind of out there and we don't really pay them much attention, but listen to these numbers. 72 million adults are obese, according to the body mass index, which is what they use to do this study. It's a way of measuring how tall you are and how much you weigh and some of these other factors. And it's not perfect, but it's pretty accurate in determining those who are obese. 72 million adults. And that's not the overweight category. That's in the obese category. Over 69% of adults fall into the category of either overweight or obese. 69%, almost 70% of the United States adults overweight or obese. Estimates of the impact that this has on annual medical costs here in the United States. The estimates put the number somewhere around $147 billion due to obesity. Obesity contributes to a number of health issues as doctors have studied the effects of obesity. The issues include sleep apnea, stroke, lung disease, heart disease, diabetes, liver disease, gallstones, arthritis, cancer, several others. But we're not here today to talk just about obesity or about being overweight. We're here to talk about why we as a country find ourselves in this situation. Now, the answer to that question is very complex, and it's one that experts are trying to diagnose, and we're spending lots of money in this country, trying to get a handle on the problem of obesity. But really, most of the problem is very, very simple. We as a country are eating too much. We are consuming too much food. Now, we're also not eating very healthy food, but that's kind of a whole other subject. We're not going to look today at what we eat. We're really going to look at how much we are eating. Now, Americans average eating almost a ton of food each year. That's almost 2,000 pounds of food. Did you know that Americans eat 10 billion donuts a year? 10 billion. I bet half of those are probably consumed in Baptist churches across the United States on Sunday morning. I can give you statistic after statistic after statistic. Some of them make us chuckle. But the truth is, we are overeating in our country, and it's having dire effects on us. But you still sit there and you think, why in the world is this a hot topic, Andy? Yeah, we get the physical side effects and we get that there's, you know, this is causing problems. But what in the world does this have to do with church and God and the Bible? I mean, yeah, sure, we need to eat better. We need to exercise more. And we do our best. We make it our New Year's resolution every year. But what does that have to do with me? Why are we talking about this on Sunday morning during the service? Well, I have some groundbreaking news for those concerned about the obesity epidemic in this country. You know, the experts, the government agencies, all those that are trying to figure out, you know, what public policies we need to put in place to help get a handle on this issue. I have some information out there for all those trying to get healthier, to do better, who are trying not to overeat. Are you ready? This is not a physical problem. It's not a socioeconomic problem. It's not a scientific problem or a cultural problem. The obesity epidemic in our country is a spiritual problem. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Open up, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to begin there in verse 19 and read through 26. So Galatians chapter 5, 19 through 26. Follow along with me there. It says, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." Now you may be saying to yourself, Andy, this issue is not sexual immorality. It's not debauchery. It's not witchcraft or hatred or jealousy. It's not the same as drunkenness or orgies. So what is the big deal? I mean, in fact, overeating wasn't even mentioned in that passage. Well, it's true. That specific issue was not mentioned in that passage. But it wouldn't take much to find verses that talk very specifically about overeating. The Bible calls this gluttony. And Proverbs in particular has a number of favorites. Listen to this. "If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and you will vomit." Proverbs 25, 16. Proverbs 23, 20, and 21. "Be not among drunkards or among gluttonous eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty, and slumber will clothe them with rags." Proverbs 23, 2, perhaps my favorite. "Put a knife to your throat if you are given to gluttony." But not just Proverbs. We see the chosen Hebrew people. We're wandering about in the wilderness, needed food, right? The Lord provided them manna to eat each morning, just enough for one day, except then on Saturday where they got a double portion so that they wouldn't have to go out and gather manna on Sunday. On Friday, so they wouldn't have to get up and do that on Saturday on the Sabbath. And yet, we see those trying to stock up on more than their share, right? To eat in excess, and Moses condemns them for their actions. What about the wicked sons of Eli? Do you remember that story? Eli's the prophet, and he has some sons. Is the priest there, and he has some sons there, and they desire more than their boiled portion of the meat that's brought to sacrifice. And we know what happened to them. The Lord saw fit to end their life. And really, do we see in Scripture that it's ever okay to overeat? Do we really see that anywhere in Scripture where God just gives His blessing on eating and eating and eating? We know the danger it causes our bodies. This is the same body that the Bible tells us is the temple of the Holy Spirit. For me, the clearest instruction we get from the Bible regarding this issue is there in Galatians 5. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit. And the last one that it mentions there is self-control. Now, if it's a fruit of the Spirit, that means that it's something that the Spirit is producing, right? That's what it means to be a fruit of something. It's produced by the Spirit. It's produced by the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Self-control. And really, isn't that at the heart of the matter for all things sinful in our life? The problem is not removing all the temptation from our life, right? Because will that ever happen here in this world, in the sinful world we live in? Can we ever just get rid of every single temptation and every single distraction out there? No. We live in a broken world, in a sinful world. So you know what you and I are to do? Rather than try to just get rid of all the temptation, which we should do as good a job as possible, rather, we must control our body. Paul says we should make it our slave. We should not give in to temptation and sin, but rather we should walk in holiness, the holiness that comes from Christ and His sacrifice on the cross. And so we think about that and we say, well, is it really that big of a deal, this whole overeating thing? I mean, is that really important? Well, I say yes. After all, what led to sin entering into the world? I mean, in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve sinned, what sin was it that they did? Was it that they drank alcohol? But was it that they, you know, were homosexual? Was it murder? Was it stealing? Was it some sort of sexual immorality? No, what led to sin entering into the world? Eating. Our appetite is a great metaphor for this flesh, this nature, this sinful nature that you and I deal with on a daily basis. Our body, we have physical needs, right? And one of those is to eat. Our body relies on the nutrition that comes from food. And when our body needs more food, it tells us we need more food, right? Some of y'all's stomachs are letting you know you need more food this morning, right now. Signals are sent from the stomach to the mind, and we begin to feel a pain in our stomach. And if we don't eat, maybe there's other psychological things that begin to happen. We're going to have headaches or various other issues, effects that it has on the body. And this is how God created our body, right? That's how He designed it. It's to ensure our survival. It's to ensure that this body can function, that it can live. Yet we can trick our body into thinking that it needs things that it really does not need. Suddenly, we're craving things that are not good for our body. We think we're still hungry even after we've eaten more than what we need. And after we do this for a while, our whole system gets messed up. It doesn't work like it's supposed to, like it was designed to by God. We begin to be addicted to certain things, like caffeine or other things. Our body begins to become resistant to insulin, the natural sugar regulator that our body produces, and we develop diabetes. I mean, I can go on and on about how our body begins to break down and not function like it's supposed to because of choices we make in our eating. And isn't that what it's like to really live in this world, to live in this body? We think we need things that we really don't. We begin to get addicted to behaviors that aren't normal, that aren't good for us. Things that were designed to work one way in our life suddenly begin to malfunction. Look at Philippians chapter 3, 18 through 21. I'm going to read this. It says, "For as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Is your stomach your God? Is it under your control? Our eating habits really become a great microcosm, which is like a really fancy word that they teach you in seminary. But it's simply, it's a great example of how you and I live our life, whether we show self-control or not. If we're unable to obey God in how we eat, are we able to obey God in the other areas of our life? In Scripture, you see gluttony often linked with drunkenness, which makes sense, right? If you can't control the things that you eat, are you able to control how much you drink? You see the natural kind of tie-in together. But the greatest danger in not being able to control what we eat and how much we eat is not that it leads to the inability to be obedient in other areas of our life. The biggest danger is really not just all the physical issues that we know are a consequence of overeating. Here's the problem. If this is truly simple, to overeat, then the greatest danger of overeating is that it's sinful. Now, chances are, you and I, while we're on this earth, while we are in this body, in this sinful flesh that we live in, we will struggle with sin, right? We know no one is perfect. We all continue to make mistakes. Even after salvation, you and I struggle with sin. There is temptation all around us. And sometimes we mess up. Sometimes we make mistakes. But listen to this. We shouldn't resign ourselves to that fact and just say, well, you know what? I'm going to sin anyway. I might as well just do what I want. God has called us to live a holy life. He hasn't just called us to just be defeated and give in to whatever temptation that is around us. We should not be afraid to shoot for a sinless, holy life. And if we happen to miss the target, that's okay. But what we should be afraid of is if we shoot for a life that tolerates sin, that struggles with temptation, that just kind of gives up, if that's the life we're shooting for, we should be scared that we actually hit that target. Sin that is not addressed in our life causes problems. There are consequences. If we are sinning, we're sinning, right? There's no degree to sin. There's no penal code out there that says, okay, well, murder, that's a type one, class one sin, and really gluttony and overeating, I mean, that's kind of like a class C misdemeanor, you know? No, that's not how it's set up. If we fail to meet the standard of holiness, of perfection, of being without sin, if we don't meet that, guess what? We are sinners. It doesn't matter what sin you and I commit, we are sinners. And the punishment is the same. And sin that's not dealt with leads to all kinds of consequences in our life. A broken relationship with God. A hardened heart. A depraved mind, the Bible says. We become unfit and unprepared for the work that God has for us in His kingdom. The list goes on and on. And that's all spiritual consequences. That's not the physical consequences of our sin. Guys, our desire should be to obey God in every area of our life. To have total self-control. Do not let areas of sin in your life, whether it's overeating or whether it's other things in your life that you're struggling with, don't allow them to go unchecked. There is consequences. Now let's not let those things hold us back from all that God has for us. Instead, we should live a healthy life so we can be prepared for anything that God has planned. Let us not be limited because of health or sin that's not being dealt with. But I can tell, some of you are still not convinced. Well, the truth of the matter is, this body that you and I live in, that we overeat, that we feed more than what we really need, it's not our own. This body is a gift that's been given to us. We are stewards of this body. You see, overeating in how we treat our body is really a stewardship issue. Now, stewardship refers to simply being a steward, being an employee, being a worker that has been chosen to manage the affairs of the boss. In this case, God. He has given us this body and has allowed us to manage it for a time period. Remember, This life's not our own. The Bible says we were bought with a price. We were purchased with the blood of Jesus. And this body is now the home of the Holy Spirit. God Himself lives within us. And you and I will be held accountable for how we take care of it. And to take care of it appropriately, we need help. We didn't create this body. Everything we know about our body, we got from just observing and studying, trying to figure out how it functions. And we've learned a lot. Today, I mean, we've never known more about the human body than we do right now. Now, the way technology changes, we'll know more about it tomorrow, but that's just how it is. And we didn't come about this knowledge on our own. We learned it from observing the creation. Yet to take care of the body requires more than just knowledge. For example, many of us know that we need to take care of our vehicle, right? There's certain things that must happen. We have to put gas in it. We need to change the oil ever so often. We need to change tires. There's certain maintenance that we need to do to our vehicle. But simply just knowing that you need to maintain your vehicle is not the same as maintaining your vehicle. Am I right? I learned this lesson a few months ago as I was on my way home from, I was here at Mineral Wells and I was going, I was here in Breckenridge and we were still living in Mineral Wells. And so I was on my way back after work. And this is we were trying to get back because we were trying to sell our house. It was the same night we were dodging tornadoes. And right about 5:30, I'd left here about 5:15, and right about 5:30, I hear this loud noise, and I look behind my rearview mirror, and I'd had a blowout in my tires. Now, I knew I needed new tires. I'd been told, you know, from other people, they'd been noticing, hey, your tires are getting pretty bad. You might want to change those. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll get to that eventually, right? Once I get things settled down, when I get moved in, when everything's right, then I'll take care of my vehicle. Well, it didn't work out for me, did it? Blowout. If you look at my truck, y'all are probably wondering, why does this guy have such a terrible truck? And I'll get around to fixing my truck eventually, right? But it not only did it blow the tire out, it blew a huge chunk out of my rear fender, right? I've got some physical damage that has now been caused by the fact that I didn't take care of the tires on my vehicle. I knew that they needed to be changed. But that doesn't mean that they were actually taken care of, that the maintenance actually got done. Just knowledge that you need to do it is not the same. You know, some of us have those kind of blowout moments with our physical body. We know we should be eating better. We know we should be taking care of ourselves. But you know what it took for me to finally get that tire taken care of? A blowout. Now all four of the tires are brand new, right? Got to get them all taken care of. And some of us in this room, or maybe we know some people, but maybe us personally, we've had those blowout moments in our lives, right? Suddenly we end up in the ER. Suddenly we can't pass a stress test. We've got to go and we've got to get a blockage taken care of. We've had a heart attack or some other physical issues. And suddenly, things have to change, don't they? That maintenance that we knew about now actually has to get done. But you know what? Some people, when they have blowouts in their car, they don't survive those moments. I mean, I'm thinking, had the conditions been bad, had I not been able to kind of steer things straight and get off the side of the road, had I caught the rainstorm that I was about to enter into, what might have happened for me having a blowout? And sometimes in your life, when we have those blowout moments, like a heart attack and some of these other physical issues because we're not taking care of our body, sometimes we don't survive those either. Just knowing that we should take care of our body is not enough. We actually have to give our body the maintenance it needs. We have to take care of our body, this gift that we've been given. Don't wait. Don't wait till you have the blowout to begin doing those things. Start now. Overeating really is a physical problem. It isn't healthy. It causes issues. And I'm not just talking about those, you know, having to change your belt size. Not those physical issues, but real serious issues. But perhaps more importantly, or absolutely more importantly, it's a spiritual problem. And to overcome spiritual problems, you need supernatural help. Because naturally, we want to eat as much as we can. If something tastes good, we want more of it. That's our sinful nature that lives within us. By ourselves, you and I have no self-control. Remember, self-control is a fruit of what? Of the Spirit. It's a product of the Holy Spirit. And if we're going to address this issue, we need God's help. We need His strength. We need His guidance. And He offers that to us. If we will be obedient, If we'll walk in holiness, then he will see to it that we continue to walk in obedience. He will empower us. He will give us the ability to overcome sin, even the sin of overeating. So let's take care of this life that you and I have been given. We don't know how much longer we have left, but however much ever longer that is, let's live healthy. Let's not continue to overeat like 72 million Americans. Let's be good stewards so that when our time is up, the Lord can look at us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And let's close today in prayer. We'll pray about this issue. We'll finish up and we'll go to the all-you-can-eat buffet and we'll immediately put into practice what we've discussed this morning. It's a spiritual issue. We need spiritual guidance. We need God's help to overcome this. Let's go to the Lord and pray for his help. Father God, thank you. Lord, thank you for your word, God, that reaches every part of our life, that deals with everything that we deal with on this earth. God, I thank you that it applies to our life. God, you're well aware of the issues of not treating our body correctly, what issues that has physically on us. But God, make us aware of the spiritual consequences, Lord, of mistreating this body you've given us, of us not having self-control. God, move us, Father, not to just have good health, but to be obedient, so that we might continue to be obedient the rest of our lives. However long that might be, God, use us for your kingdom. Lord, it's in your name we pray. Amen.